Coming up on this episode of the Fieldhouse Files, it's an All-Star Weekend special. I'll take you to different events in Chicago and talk with Miles Turner, Tamika Catchings, Pacers VP of Marketing Todd Taylor, and one of Domantas Sabonis' brothers, Tatavitas, to discuss Domas' big weekend being a first-time All-Star. And welcome into another episode of the Fieldhouse Files. I'm Scott Agnes. Well, it was a fun but long weekend in Chicago, and as you can tell, the weather got the best of me. The cold temperatures were one thing, mostly in the single digits, but man, that thin air, that got me. But I was able to make it through. Domantas Sabonis had a busy weekend, going from event to event. He had a couple appearances, finished second in the skills challenge to Bam Adebayo, and then was on the winning team in Sunday's All-Star game with Team LeBron. In terms of on-court events, it was spectacular. Everyone came down, it seemed like, to the last shot, whether it was the skills challenge, whether it was the three-point shootout, or even the dunk. It came down to one last dunk in overtime. And then the All-Star game, of course, finished in a free throw. The other special thing in the All-Star game was the new fourth quarter. It was commercial-free and without time. And I also noticed in-house at the United Center, there was no music playing in the background. We just could really enjoy all the basketball being played. Most fans were on their feet, at least in the final few minutes of the game. Players had an intensity level that was like an NBA Finals series. It was a big hit, and I think the only ones who did not like it was the officials. This was supposed to be a casual, fun time for them, but the players were taking it out on them, not liking some of the late-game calls. We even had challenges from both teams. Now, Sabonis, he played limited action in the second and fourth quarters, about 10 minutes in all. And, of course, he rebounded well and scored the game's first free throw. Here's what Domas had to say afterwards.
It was amazing, you know. It was just crazy being out there with those guys, you know. And then, like everyone saw, that last quarter was pretty intense.
Did you have any nerves at all, or how were you?
The most nervous, you know, just going out there, you know. Me and D-Book were talking on the bench, like, are we going to go in? When are we going to go in, you know? And it was just an amazing feeling getting out there.
You seemed really into it at the end. How intense was that final quarter?
It was really intense, and it was great seeing up close, like, the best athletes just, like, they just wanted to win, you know. They were saying things, you know. They were not going to let anything easy stop them.
What do you think of the new format?
I think it was really good. You know, it's really intense. I feel like the game should be played like that the whole way, you know, like a real game. You know, it just makes it more interesting, you know, as you guys saw.
You guys got to celebrate with your charity when you won, and they seemed into it the whole game. Did you like that aspect of it?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, it was great. You know, I personally don't know that. We didn't know. They just stormed the court, but it was fun.
What were you guys talking about as the game was unfolding there late in the game?
A lot of different strategies, you know. As they got closer, it was like no threes, just make them get a two, you know. At one point, they were saying, like, if we score, then they're going to if they score, they're going to foul us. So then they had the last shot, so we just had to plan it every scenario just in case.
Did Frank tell you when you would be playing, or were you kind of just waiting for the call?
In the first half, yeah, he said, like, second quarter at the 10-minute mark, but then in the second half, we didn't think we were going to go in because, you know, it was a new format.
Right.
Then he told us to go in, and CP's like, I don't care if you guys are stiff. We're winning this, so get going.
One thing that's interesting at All-Star Weekend is the number of international media. More than 400 were credentialed from the event, coming from all over, including three from Lithuania. All they wanted to do was see Domas compete and to talk with him. And credit Domas, because after he had completed his media obligations Sunday night and probably wanted nothing more than to go back to his bed and then hit a beach on Monday, he insisted on answering more of their questions from those three journalists. So I was impressed by that, and I could tell it really made their day. And I asked them afterwards, hey, what were you asking? And they were like, well, the same questions in Lithuanian that you were asking him in English. So they just wanted it in their native language for their audience back home. On this podcast, you'll probably notice how my voice gets progressively worse, but I made it through All-Star Weekend. I look forward to having it in my backyard next year. That's awesome. That is going to be a lot of fun having it at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and throughout the downtown in Indy, my hometown, next year. And I know there was some complaining from other journalists, right? The fact that it's in all these cold weather cities in a row, with Chicago, with Indianapolis, with Cleveland, and then Salt Lake City. Now, instead of just a reaction or interview podcast, come along for the weekend and hear what key figures had to say. Subscribe to the Fieldhouse Files on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have a moment, please give it 5 stars and leave a review. Now, first up is my one-on-one conversation with Miles Turner, who spent a few days in Chicago. This interview was at a pop-up event he was doing in partnership with Mountain Dew.
You've been with Mountain Dew a couple of years now. How did that partnership come about? Why do you enjoy what each of you are doing together?
Really, I started my second year in the league, and I was really trying to, you know, get my name out there and just kind of just start working with some brands. And Mountain Dew's been nothing but good to me for the past few years. And you've seen the billboards downtown. Yeah. They help out with my warm events, and it's just been a great partnership. And I think that, you know, having this courtside studio here, I think it's just something that just brings the game to life for the fans, and the fans are able to get out there and, you know, just kind of experience kind of what we do on an everyday basis, and, you know, firsthand, you know, like people like me here.
And what All-Star Weekend is for is the fans, and this is an opportunity for them to hang out with you guys, see you guys in a little bit different light, right, with fashion or whatever you're up to.
Most definitely, man. It's a lot different when you know, you're seeing us on TV as opposed to seeing us in person, and then us being able to interact with them, too. I think that's the coolest part. You know, these are the people that, you know, we were once those guys, you know, watching the guys on TV and wanting to be just like them. So we're just providing an example and just, just having fun.
A lot of your teammates choose to go warm places. You, at least to start, are here in Chicago. And what will be fun is we'll have it in Indy next year. Have you begun to thought about that at all? The chance for us to host the All-Star Game next year?
Well, I think more than anything, it's going to be great for the city. You know, I think Indianapolis, obviously, you know, we have a lot of stuff that comes into town, but I don't think anything on this large of a scale, mm-hmm. From a basketball standpoint. So I think just having, a lot of people fly into Indy and just kind of be able to experience the city for itself. I mean, when you think Indianapolis, you don't think of just like the bright lights and all that kind of stuff. It's actually, it's actually a pretty dope city. I mean, we're pretty deep in our basketball culture as well, so I think it's going to be great for the city.
How else will you keep busy during this All-Star Weekend? What else do you like to get into enjoying? Because I got to believe, especially with your experience with Team USA, you have more and more friends around the league than you maybe did a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, and just coming out here and just cheering those guys on, that's another big thing. And, you know, being out here in Chicago, and I have a couple friends out here, just kicking with them, and just being able to experience the city, man. Chicago's I think it's an amazing city, you know, especially downtown. You know, I think it just has great culture and obviously a great basketball following as well. So just kicking my feet up a little bit, man. It's been a long stretch of games, and I finally got some time just to take myself, spend with my family, and I'm going to get to a beach, man, get some warm weather, because as much as I love the Midwest, man, it's weather isn't the best this time of the year.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. This weekend, for everyone that's involved like yourself, it's busy. You guys are going from event to event, and mm-hmm. even tonight, as we record this, it's Friday afternoon. Tonight, you have an opportunity with TNT to jump on the broadcast and put on an analyst hat. Mm-hmm. You kind of tweeted that maybe this is something you want to do in the future. Mm-hmm. Have you given it much thought, or is this kind of a trial run for you?
I guess it's a trial run. I mean, I've always kind of enjoyed just, you know, really just talking hoops and just being part of the game, obviously. So, I mean, watching a lot of, you know, commentators, and something I feel like just kind of comes natural to me. So I want to give it a shot, have some fun with it as well, and then, we'll see.
Is there anything strategically you plan to do, maybe provide a player's perspective or talk more ball than, say, drama that often creeps into game broadcasts and such, right? The Twitter stuff versus, hey, actual play that's going on and why they did it.
I'm going to just do whatever comes natural, man. I think for the biggest part, the most part for me is that I'm a player. I'm a guy who's playing the game right now. Most of the commentators have either played or just have, like, experience coaching, or they haven't actually been a part of the game. And, Donovan Mitchell's obviously going to help me out. He's someone that's part of the game as well. We can kind of just give us an inside perspective as to what's going on.
I think one of the cool things, too, about yourself is at least over the last couple of years, you've become not just a friend but an advocate for the women's game as well. Why is that?
I have a little sister as well, and she looks up to me, and I have a lot of, I think, women where I'm from who look up to me as well. You know, I grew up in a house full of women. I had three or four of my cousins that live with me, my mother, obviously, and I think the advancement of the game has just been incredible over the years. You know, Kobe, may rest in peace, he was one of the ones that I think was a huge advocate for it as well, you know, with his daughters and whatnot, and I think just pushing that envelope, pushing the game forward, like, it's just, you know, me personally, I get offended when I see, you know, people talk about the women's game or they should be in the kitchen and this and that. That kind of stuff kind of just, it hits me in a different light. And I want to always make sure that, you know, I'm able to provide an example, you know, for the ones that are at least trying to make it, you know.
Yeah, and when you're in Indy, you might go to a Fever game, or in Dallas, the Wings down there as well. And you have a couple friends that you're close with, right, throughout the league? Who are they?
Yeah. So I was actually just hanging out with Ariel Atkins last night. You know, we had to, you know, from the Dallas area, went to college together. You know, she just won a championship, so I'm happy for her. You know, Gabby Williams, she plays for the Chicago, actually here in Chicago Sky as well. I mean, I've known her for a long time. Asia Wilson, Liz Cambridge. I mean, the list goes on, but I mean, there's a few of the girls that, you know, one that been kind of in my high school class, and the girls that's been following for a while. So it's cool just to kind of put the name in the face.
At All-Star Weekend, one of the highlights, of course, is Saturday night, and I know Mountain Dew sponsors the three-point shootout, and they have the new zone this year where they're stepping it back a little bit with the four-point zone. How do you feel about that as the game kind of evolves and guys are taking longer and longer three-pointers? We see that all the time with Vic especially.
Right. I think Mountain Dew is always trying to find a way just to, I don't know, just evolve the game in a sense. I think it's really dope that they're able to add that. What was it, like a 30-point or 30-foot shot or something like that, mm-hmm. and I think Doug McDermott, for one, for anything,
yeah,
should be in this three-point
ridiculous shootout,
man. I wish he was here, but I'm looking forward to seeing him, man. I think the events are cool. I mean, it's obviously great for the fans, and you know, a lot of celebrities going to be here as well and be able to see that kind of stuff firsthand. So, yeah, man, I saw Domas last night. You know, I know he's pumped up. He's excited and happy for him, and I'm glad he's able to kind of experience this close to home and everything. So I think it's going to be a great experience for everybody.
As I told Doug, what it's clear from the NBA is they valued volume shooters rather than efficiency.
Right. You know,
which doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah,
because you want to be the most accurate and take advantage of the good shots rather than just throwing them up there.
I mean, you can get into the politics of it, but in the day, Doug should be here. I mean, that's all it is. But you know, we won't go too deep. We won't deep dive into that too much.
How about the skills challenge? Seeing Domas in there, we obviously know about his passing, but some of his dribbling, and I'll be curious to see how he does because I think he's a guy that will probably be overlooked in this.
Yeah, I think the big men as a whole have evolved. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, that's throughout the league just these past few years, and then. Domas himself, I mean, he's a big part of our offense. You see him bring the ball to the floor sometimes. He has all those assists. I mean, he's able to kind of put himself in great positions. So I think this would be a good opportunity for him.
How badly did you guys need the break, right? Because I feel like we could all feel it. Myself could feel it, right? Uh-huh. That everyone around the league, especially you guys, though, from what you had been when dealing with so many changes, this was definitely a welcome break, wasn't it?
Yeah. Everybody always looks forward to an all-star break. Obviously, that little the little losing stint we went through, that didn't help either.
Right.
But I think it was really big that we picked up that win against Milwaukee, headed into the break, create some positive momentum for ourselves. And guys get a chance just to, you know, unwind and just, you know, just refresh, you know, somehow, some way. And I love those guys to death, but I don't want to see them for the next week. Or I don't want to hear nothing, turn my phone off, you know, and then we'll get back to it.
Sorry you had to see me then, because that's a familiar face in the locker room. And Domas as
it's
well.
It's always love, Scott. We good, man.
Well, I appreciate you. Anything else you're looking forward to in All-Star Weekend being a part of? Because while you could be away on a beach, you're having fun here at All-Star Weekend, being involved in several different events.
Really just hanging out with Dude, man. I think this is kind of dope. Like I said, every time I, you know, have an opportunity like this, I mean, these guys will always have my back. And it's kind of cool just to kind of show face here, you know, for an event like this. So kick it here for a few, get to the game later tonight, and get out here in the morning.
Very good. That's Miles Turner here at this pop-up store for Mountain Dew, a 4-4 event where people can go to throughout all of All-Star Weekend. All right, we're in the United Center. It's Friday afternoon, and the Naismith Hall of Fame just announced its finalists for the 2020 Hall of Fame class. 8 of them, and of course, Tamika Catchings is part of that group. It's the first year that she is eligible, and among the finalists, the late Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and several others. But this is an outstanding honor, as to be expected, though, for Tamika, considering the impact that she had on the game, both from high school levels. She dominated right here in Chicago and Texas, and then went on to the University of Tennessee, played for the legendary head coach Pat Summitt, who I know still means a great deal to her as she tries to live out her legacy and beyond now as the general manager and vice president of the Indiana Fever. After the announcement inside the United Center, I was able to sit down with Ketch for a few minutes to talk about what this honor means to her, especially right here in Chicago, the class that she could go in with, and what else she's up to here for the Chicago All-Star Weekend. All right, now with Ketch, no-brainer that you're part of this finalist, but it's got to mean it is for us. I know you'll be humble about it, but does it mean something also extra special being here in Chicago near where you dominated high school for a couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome to be back in Chicago. And, you know, definitely I think the biggest thing for me is just being a part of this class and being a part of history and being a part of, like, a legacy. Everybody starts thinking about what will your legacy be post-basketball. And when you have an opportunity to be here, you have an opportunity to sit in that room over there with all of the great, and they kept coming in the room. I'm like, looking around, golly, like I'm in a class. I'm in a room with all of these great athletes, and you know, it's a blessing to be a part of it. And then, of course, being in Chicago, went to Stevenson High School, went to Atkinson Junior High right around the corner. So, you know, you kind of get the best of all worlds. I get to represent where part of where my roots are here in Chicago, and then, of course, Indiana's right up the street.
Is there one individual here in this room that you were excited to meet or take a picture with, or just kind of see for the first time?
All of them.
Yeah.
You know, like I really, you don't take it lightly being able to be a part of the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think sometimes with the older players, we forget the legacy that they've left and the things that they've been able to do. And if you haven't been around them, if you haven't recognized them, and a lot of people in this room weren't old enough or weren't born when they were playing. But when you think about all the things that they've done and why they are in the Hall, like that's really cool. And we were talking about this in the back room, like there's the older generation and they're kind of like the ones like right underneath that. I would consider myself probably that third tier, and then you got the baby, you know, that are just coming in. It's so real being in that room. It's so real being up here, but you know, we'll see what happens.
You considered your legacy in basketball, because this is kind of the final part of that, right, in terms of your playing days? Because I'm impressed you're here in Chicago and making moves on the Fever front even today.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it is like closing the book. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying this earlier, you know, even with Kobe, like thinking about where we started with our fathers playing, and we're just running around like enjoying life, and then we both get into playing basketball, we end up moving here, they stay over there for a few more years, come back, like our lives have intertwined at different points in time. But when you look at like just the parallel of what we've been able to do post-basketball, post-career, like what he's been able to do with Gigi, and you know, the video production and the Emmy and all the things that he's won. And then on our end, I think the biggest thing for him was impact. And I think when you look at my life too, like the legacy, the book closes on the basketball side, but now it's like the legacy is the foundation and helping kids and building a legacy in a different way of helping other people and impacting lives, which is where the parallels came.
But going back to Kobe, I forget, how long was it you guys were together? Was it like 6 years?
No, we were only together for a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They stayed over for 6 years. We only stayed over there for a year. My dad was pretty much like, okay, I'm done. I'm done playing basketball. So we moved back to the state.
And that's the fact that you started there, and then now you're going to the Hall of Fame. I'll say it. You'll go into the Hall of Fame together.
I don't know.
That's
we'll
pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Blessing.
You're also here in Chicago, I'm sure, part of the Indy All-Star Committee. What else have you been involved with, checked out, to look ahead to next year where we'll host it in Indy?
Yeah, so yesterday I came in, there was an event for the NBA. I think there's just a lot going on. You know, there's a lot going on during NBA All-Star Weekend, and the interesting thing is there's so much that you can't really hit everything. So we have a huge contingent. Like, we have a huge group that's here. Everybody's kind of checking out different things. And, of course, I got a couple of events that I have to go to. So really just checking it out, checking, seeing how things are going. What do we want to bring back to Indiana? What worked? What didn't work? What do we really, really like? So as you're going around the city. So this is even you, Scott. I'm putting you in.
Yeah.
But what, you know, what you see here in Indiana or out here in Chicago that you feel like we need to have back in Indiana?
All right, it's Saturday morning. I'm over at Wintrust Arena, the secondary gym being used at All-Star Weekend in Chicago. It's where events such as the celebrity game and media interviews going on. And as I record this, the podiums, the dozens of podiums that were on the court for media day interviews are having to be cleared out so that they can practice, each team can, for about an hour, and they have to clear them out in 18 minutes. It's one of the more fascinating things that at least I enjoy at All-Star Weekend, seeing the logistics and how everything is to a schedule. And while at media day and talking with Domantas Sabonis, right beside me was Diana Boyce,
VP of this Indy All-Star Committee for next year, as well as Todd Taylor, the Vice President of Marketing for the Pacers. So in this conversation, you'll hear from Taylor talking about what he's looking for this weekend, trying to take in and jot down so many notes, as well as the Pacers' involvement and much more. Start out, Todd. What are you specifically looking for this weekend? We know you're Vice President of Marketing and everything with the Pacers, in addition to your other hats, but what are you paying close attention to?
Mostly just the fan activations. So, you know, when people come in, they're here for multiple days, and obviously Saturday night and Sunday are huge games and events, but there's a lot of time to fill. So how do you make it an event that actually lasts 4 days, showcase the city, and obviously from our standpoint, allows us to connect with fans and hopefully convert them to Pacers fans?
Is it crazy to think that you maximize a weekend in like 5 days and then you tear it all down?
It's amazing, and it's really been educational for us. You know, a couple years back, as you know, we started to go and visit cities that were hosting All-Star games. When we went there, we went primarily as fans in the beginning, and each year we've actually become more students, right? Okay. So from this standpoint, you know, really learning about venue operations, how you staff, flow, obviously, you know, just leaving the media event here, how do you make that different? How do you make it better? You know, really getting all the key constituents, whether that's media, fans, players, NBA, how do you make it the best event possible for that unique target?
What types of people that have already done this or are currently doing this are you working with or shadowing or while here in Chicago?
Yeah, so the NBA, we've had meetings every day, really, you know, tours behind the scenes, United Center. We went to Navy Pier and watched NBA crossover. We've had small group meetings with the brand marketing people of the NBA, specifically the All-Star, the events group. So really, you know, our whole goal here in bringing the contingent we did is to bring the unique people that have the roles that are going to be specialists and allow them to connect with their counterparts. So instead of theory, you can see it in sort of real-time practice.
Is there one specific thing that seems like the tallest task of all of it?
You know, honestly, I think when people, no matter whether it's Chicago or whether it's Indianapolis, you have a lot of visitors that are new to a city. And from our standpoint, we know it like the back of our hand. So I think we take for granted sometimes, even in a small condensed footprint like Indianapolis, that people will sort of intuitively know where to go. I think the biggest thing that I hear for all these events is really signage and communication from the support staff, so that when someone says, hey, where's the media entrance, you actually make it to the media entrance and you don't walk around the building three times and get three different answers.
And I can see that being incredibly useful for me today, because I was looking for somebody. I remember in the Super Bowl we had, I think, special hats or bright colors or something that could stand out.
Definitely. And that's a big thing. And again, you know, Indianapolis does big events so great. So we have a blueprint. We have the key people that work together. So we already have that foundation set. Now it's really just, how do you turn it into a global event like All-Star? You know, each event is a little bit unique. When I say event, meaning, you know, All-Star game in that weekend, it's different than the Final Four. It's different than the college football championships. How do you make it special, unique, and showcase the city in the process?
We know we have the committee, the Indy All-Star Committee and such. What is the Pacers' involvement in everything? And is that, that's more towards what you are doing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we obviously, we're the host team with the NBA. So, you know, it's really the committee's hugely helpful for us, because there's a lot to tackle, and we're still trying to run a basketball team and still win some games and, you know, hopefully make a playoff run here and start next year fresh. So it's really critical to have the support structure from all the entities around the city to be able to help us. At the end of the day, though, we're the direct connection to the NBA and sort of the liaison and representative from the state of Indiana and city of Indianapolis to the NBA itself.
I got to ask you, as put your marketing hat on, Vic coming back, how have you noticed that impacting? We know TV ratings have been impacted, but I'm sure tickets as well as gift store purchases.
Well, you know, it's interesting because obviously we know Vic and we watched him, so we missed him. But, you know, in some ways, if you think about it, it's almost like a midseason trade for a star player. So obviously your fan base is going to get very, very energized with that. You know, he's such a great fit for us from a brand. You know, we've had this conversation before. You know, we get a certain type of guys, and he matches that perfectly. So, you know, guys that work hard, that are likable, that happen to be very skilled. So getting somebody back like that, it's certainly going to spike fan interest.
Anything else you can think of that you want to share?
You know, I think the other thing that we're really proud of, and I think is you know, kind of a modification of what we've done before, is really our legacy program around the All-Star game. So as you know, with our organization, but also just the city in general, we try and make a lasting impact with whatever we do. So I think kind of unique to All-Star, something we're very proud of, is the 21 groups that are going to get some funds and supports to be able to impact their local communities, which is, I think, a pretty cool thing that we're able to do, and we'll have people remember the All-Star game for years and years to come.
Where are you in that process, selection process, and when will we know the 21?
Very soon. Okay. So, you know, obviously we want to stay out of Chicago's way. It's theirs to sort of finish off and showcase. You know, we've been excited about the All-Star game and sort of working ahead for the past, year. But really, we're really delaying a lot of our activations and activities until Chicago is off the stage. We certainly want them to have their moment. They put a lot of hard work in, so a lot of those announcements will be coming up pretty quick.
The stage is set, the lights are bright, and the fighters are ready. DraftKings Sportsbook is here to help you get in on all the weekend's title fight action. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, offers a full betting experience including pregame, in-game, and futures betting. Not only are there special odds for the title fight happening in Las Vegas this weekend, but the Hoosiers are hosting Penn State in hopes of adding to their impressive Big Ten resume. DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw funds at your convenience. It's no wonder that DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FAST when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget, enter code FAST and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times play through. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Before the Sabonis family spent the extended weekend in Chicago, being there with Domas, who had dozens of family and friends, they were in a suite for the Skills Challenge Saturday night and then again Sunday for the game. They were there Wednesday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse to see the Pacers end their losing streak to the top team in the East in the Milwaukee Bucks. And I was also able to talk with one of Domas' brothers, his older brother, Tautavitis, to get his thoughts on Domas making the game, what it means for him and his family. And I tried to get some new details on Domas that maybe we hadn't heard before.
All right, so take me through like a game night. Because for you, it's 3 a.m. normally.
Two a.m. Yeah, best time.
Okay, so it's 2 a.m. at home. Do you take a nap during the day?
I mean, depends. If I got to work out in the morning with the kids or something, I'm coaching now.
You're coaching? Okay.
Yeah. So if it's like that, it's a good game, I'll normally take a nap. And then I'll wake up and watch it, go upstairs because I live on the second floor. My dad lives on the third floor. So we both just go in, get some food or something, and just watch the game and enjoy Domas play. If it's not one of those tough games or something, sometimes I won't lie, I sleep. Yeah. I don't watch it. My dad watches every single game mostly. It's weird that he does not miss one. Maybe those West Coast games that are 5 in the morning or something. But that stretch that you had, that those 4 or 5 games, I think he watched at least 4 of them. So, he's a diehard fan of Domas, and he watches all of it. With work, you know, sometimes it's tough for me, but it's cool. But I get my dad to watch it, and we just comment all the conversations and just watch the game. It's great.
What exactly are you coaching? Who are you, like,
Like the equivalent would be maybe like an NCAA of Europe, the second team of Žalgiris.
Okay, so professional.
Professional, yeah. Like,
wow, okay.
They play second division, but they're mostly all from 15 to our oldest is 20, and the youngest is 15. So like that kind of range of kids, and it's pretty fun. I'm an assistant there, playing development, so it's cool.
What was the family's reaction to Domas, both his big year, but then also becoming an All-Star for the first time?
Well, I mean, being a basketball family, we all kept talking, we all kept thinking, it's like, hey, this is possible, you know? And me and my dad were like, come on, man, they're fifth, fourth, they could get up with another seed with Vic being out, you know, and Malcolm having those injuries late, you know, I was like, they gotta take a guy from the fifth seed, and we were just excited, you know, his hard work finally pays off, you know, he deserves it more than anyone, and we're just glad that we can be here. I'm glad that I can be here enjoying this with him and the whole family, and I know he's happy to have us here also.
Where do you think, you've seen him his entire life, where do you think his game is either in, has become way better? Where has he taken the greatest leap in the last couple of years? Some talk about his passing, even more so.
The thing is, I've seen him, there's an interview I gave when I was like, I think 13 or 14. I want him, no, 16, sorry. And I said in that interview, like, I'm not surprised Domas is going to be an NBA player. I was like, he's the best one out of the family, you know? And I always used to joke that that if I didn't have anything to do, I'd just live off Domas. You know, just like, you know, like I'll be his chauffeur or chef or anything. And coming to the question, to answer your question, honestly, I just think it's his confidence. I think getting that starting role, I think even last year coming off the bench, being the main guy, like the bench played well because it went through him, you know. And obviously Doug and even Lance last year and all this, but this year he just got that role, that starting role. Everyone with Big Al, he just has the ball more in his hands. Like my dad said, he gave those couple passes, you know, now he started feeling comfortable. Now he's throwing those passes that I've seen him do since young age of my dad, and now he's just giving those normal passes that it's normal. Obviously his passing and shooting could get a little better, like always, like you want to expect more from him. But I just think it's confidence more than anything. He believes he's an all-star now, and then he's just playing to what he can do.
Contract helped too.
Oh yeah,
have that behind him. The belief that hey, we believe in you.
We believe in you. He can kind of take that chip off his shoulder, and now just play. You know, just do his game.
What do you guys have planned, or what do you look forward to in Chicago? Have you ever been there?
I've never been to Chicago.
No.
As a kid, always All-Star Weekend seemed amazing. Never thought I'd be part of it. And now to be thankful, don't want to be part of it and see everything, see all the stars, and live it through like that kind of like close up and close, not just in the stands. I think it's going to be amazing. And to people, Domas especially, you know, my dad, and just, you know, just have a family vacation out of it and just enjoy every moment of it.
How do you obviously didn't see your dad really play, but do you look at old videos? How similar do they look to you?
Honestly, like for me, yes, my dad was a more prototypical center, bigger, you know. Domas, obviously the game styles has changed a lot, but at the end of the day, since small, it's, for me, it's the details, the hand gestures, the ball, the verbal talk. Yes, it's just those little details that I see a lot in Domas and my dad, but like from when he was 16 and 15, and we would always say, even my mom doesn't understand that much of basketball, even though she's been in the basketball world her whole life. She could see, it's like, look, the pass, the gesture, you know, it's all those little details. And obviously then the passing skills, you know, the IQ level's high in him. You know, I think even me when I was playing, even my big brother when he was playing, our IQ was always high just from our dad. I guess that was like the thing that we all got from him. And Domas is just on another level.
What are the ages of each of you kids?
Ziggy's 28, I'm 27, and then Domas is 23, 24.
He's the baby of you guys.
And then my little sister,
his
obviously.
Sister.
Yeah, he's younger than Domas 1 year.
Okay.
So it's like technically 92, 91, Ziggy, 96,
so
and 90.
Three of the guys.
Three guys and one sister.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Huh. How often are you guys talking or FaceTiming or?
As long when he can.
Every
time.
Day,
after sometimes. Every game. Like my dad and him text after every game we're talking, and then we're just texting every once in a while when he gets free time. I got free time, obviously, busy schedules, being NBA and, you know, coaching. But, you know, we always talk. Like, our family's very close, and we always enjoy all these little moments. And like I said, again, to be an all-star in Chicago and here with Domas and our whole family, you know, it's amazing. Like, there's this one tweet a couple days ago or a few weeks ago, I don't know, some Italian guy posted. It's like, you know, how is a family dinner in the Sabonis household when, you know, Ziggy, no all-star, Doma, Tutti, no all-star, Dad, no all-star, but Doma's an all-star. And I was like, hey, it doesn't feel that bad when your dad's not an all-star, you know, so Domas is, but obviously Doma's dad's so much more. So, like I said, we're just excited to be here and just enjoy this ride with him.
There's an age difference, but did you three ever play in formal basketball together?
Me and Domas played his when he was 16, I was 20, and in the second team of Buricaja in the third division, we played together that one season.
So for 1 year, you two.
Yeah, we
but
have,
never all three of you.
No.
Okay.
Ziggy already was retired. He was already studying.
Okay.
But that year was like probably my favorite year. As of all, just with the group of kids, like the guys, it was the guys I grew up. Domas came in, like always hanging out with us. It was a great year. We made the playoffs, made the finals, and we lost in the last game, but it was a great year for us. And it was awesome to be around him. I can always say I played with my little brother.
Any random things about Domas we should know about, even off the court, or, I don't know, music or candy or...
Not really.
Little things about him that we don't know?
Not that much. Very straightforward person.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get. And the same thing, like when you see my father, it's like what you saw is what you got. You know, very serious. When it came to game time, obviously when he's with us, family time, he lets loose. funny guy also. The same thing as my dad. Maybe makes it seem like he's very serious at the time, but when he's with the people that he cares about and he lets loose, he's a fun person to be around. He makes everyone better.